Welcome back to the Deep Dive, where we take your sources, articles, research, basically all that complex stuff, and boil it down to the essential nuggets of knowledge.
Yeah, we try to give you that shortcut to being genuinely well-informed, maybe with a few surprising facts, maybe even a little humor along the way.
Exactly. And today, we are really diving deep into something I think is critical for, well, pretty much any business leader, especially if you're in that startup or scaling phase.
Absolutely. We're talking about how to transform that inherent chaos of startup growth into something actually sustainable, success that lasts.
Right. And this is actually the kickoff, the first installment of our new series, Foundations of Startup Process Improvement. So we'll be unpacking the core elements you need for that kind of enduring growth over several deep dives.
That's the plan. And for today, our main source is a really fascinating new book by Emmanuel Bacare. It's called Startup Process Improvement, Volume 1, Turning Chaos into Cash.
I mean, the title alone, Turning Chaos into Cash, it definitely grabs you, doesn't it?
It really does.
So our mission today for this first deep dive in this series is really to unpack this idea of a process-first mindset. It sounds maybe a bit counterintuitive for startups.
Maybe, yeah. But we'll explore why processes might actually be your secret weapon, you know, for speed, for innovation, not the enemy we sometimes think they are.
Okay. And how embracing them can help your startup not just scale up, but actually stick around, endure.
Exactly. So what this means for you, if you're listening, maybe you're a founder, maybe you're leading a team in a fast-growing company.
Yeah.
It means getting a real handle on how to build lasting value, how to navigate all those complexities that come with growing really fast.
So this first deep dive is about laying that groundwork, understanding the chaos, but also starting to build what the series calls your process improvement mindset.
Precisely, building that foundation.
Okay, let's dig in. You know that phrase, move fast and break things?
Oh yeah, the classic startup mantra.
Right. For ages, that felt like the unofficial motto. It captured that urgency, that lean idea, you know, iterating super fast.
Definitely. Get the product out there, learn, fix it later.
But the question we really need to wrestle with now, especially as startups get, well, a bit more grown up, is that sustainable? Really?
And that's where it gets interesting. The source material, Bacare's book, points out something quite paradoxical. It's actually easier than ever to launch a startup now.
Right. With generative AI, low-code tools, cloud stuff, it's accessible.
Totally. But that accessibility, that ease of starting, it hides a pretty dangerous trap.
Which is?
Starting fast can often mean you end up breaking fast. Or, maybe even worse, you hit a wall of chaos later and realize you have to rebuild huge chunks of your operation from scratch.
Ouch.
Yeah. It's not just about minor bumps. We're talking fundamental flaws that can just unravel everything you've built because you didn't think about process early on.
That sounds like a painful lesson. And the author, Emmanuel Bacare, he actually lived this with his own startup, AquaHouse.
He did. It's a powerful story, and it clearly shaped his whole approach. AquaHouse was this AI-powered water quality sensor company, and they had textbook explosive growth, like 5 to 50 employees in just 18 months, revenue doubling every quarter.
Wow. Sounds amazing on paper.
Exactly. On the surface, pure rocket ship success, but underneath, they were completely unraveling.
How so? What was going wrong?
The operational issues were massive. Data streams from their sensors were lagging. Network access kept failing. Installations in remote places were a logistical nightmare with huge delays.
Yikes.
And then, predictably, customer complaints surged about reliability. And the team totally burned out, just constantly fighting fires.
So the growth itself was causing the problems.
Precisely. All that chaos, it wasn't just noise. It cost them $150,000 in direct losses. And Bacare says it nearly tanked the entire company.
Wow.
And the core lesson he took away from almost losing everything, it was profound. He says, innovation without process is a recipe for collapse.
Innovation without process is a recipe for collapse. That really hits hard against the move fast and break things idea.
It's a direct counterpoint. It suggests breaking things isn't a strategy. It's a symptom of not having the right structures.
That AquaHouse story, I bet it feels really familiar to anyone who's been through rapid growth or even just dreams about it.
Absolutely. It makes the risks feel very real, not just abstract concepts.
And the book apparently backs this up with other examples, too, like regulatory errors messing up clinical trials.
Yeah, it mentions that regulatory mistakes delay something like 43% of clinical trials, a huge bottleneck often caused by process failures.
Okay.
And another example, a company called Tech Connect Solutions, they apparently eliminated, get this, 64% of tasks that added no value just by focusing on improving their processes.
64%. That's massive inefficiency hiding in plain sight.
It really is. So it drives home this point. Dealing with startup chaos proactively, thinking about process, it isn't just some nice-to-have corporate thing. It's fundamental. It could be existential.
Okay, so if innovation without processes collapse, what's the alternative? The book talks about this process-first mindset, that phrase. I don't know, it might make some founders think of, like, bureaucracy or red tape.
Yeah, I get that reaction. It could sound a bit stiff, maybe. A big company.
Right. So what does it actually mean to have a process-first mindset in a startup that needs to stay agile?
That's such an important question, because the core idea here is challenging a big assumption. What if processes aren't inherently bureaucratic overhead?
Okay.
What if instead they're actually enabling forces? The process-first mindset means leaders understand that when you design processes well, they become the engine for speed, for quality, for sustainable innovation.
So they're not slowing you down, they're paving the road.
Exactly. They create the infrastructure, the very foundation that lets startups scale without falling into that chaos trap that AquaHouse fell into.
Right.
Fundamentally, good processes free up your teams. They let people focus on the really critical stuff, creating value for customers, innovating, solving complex problems.
Instead of just constantly putting out fires or reinventing how to do basic tasks.
Precisely. It's about building a robust foundation that actually allows for agility rather than hindering it.
It sounds like it shifts the whole dynamic from being reactive, always chasing problems, to being more proactive and strategic.
That's a great way to put it.
And the book even has a visual for this, the process-first revolution flywheel. Can you maybe walk us through how that works? And more importantly, how does a leader actually get that flywheel spinning and keep it going?
Yeah, the flywheel concept is really powerful because it shows it's not a one-time fix, it's a continuous cycle, a virtuous one.
Okay.
So imagine it starts with achieving some level of process excellence. You get a handle on a key process that immediately lets you start scaling efficiently. You're growing smarter, less friction.
Makes sense. Less waste, smoother growth.
Right. And that efficient scaling, it directly enhances profitability. Mm-hmm. Because you're cutting waste, using resources better.
Okay, more profit. What next?
Well, higher profitability gives you resources to reinvest. That reinvestment allows you to improve speed. Maybe faster time to market, quicker customer service, faster internal operations.
Got it. Speed comes from efficiency and investment.
Yes, but crucially, when that improved speed is built on solid processes, it naturally improves quality. You're making fewer mistakes, you're more consistent.
So speed and quality aren't trade-offs here.
Not in this model. They feed each other. And that higher quality then dramatically reduces chaos. Fewer errors mean less rework, fewer customer complaints blowing up your support lines, less team burnout, just like AquaHouse needed.
Right. Less firefighting.
Exactly. And that reduction in chaos, it frees up your team's energy and focus, which then allows for even more efficient scaling. They can innovate, execute, not just react. And the flywheel spins again faster.
Wow. Okay. So it really is a self-reinforcing loop. If I'm getting this right, takes offer, for example. Better processes mean fewer bugs shipped, right? So that's higher quality, which means less time wasted on customer support and frantic bug fixes. That's reduced chaos for the engineers.
Correct.
Which frees them up to build new features faster, which drives your speed and ability to scale with new offerings. That's
actually quite counterintuitive for founders who think quality has to wait until after you get speed.
It really is. It flips the script. It's not get fast, then get good. It's that good processes help you get fast and stay fast sustainably. They feed each other. And that flywheel, that continuous loop, that's what builds that sustainable competitive edge.
Yeah.
Setting you apart from others still stuck in the chaos.
That's the argument. It allows you to consistently out-execute competitors who are still just reacting, still breaking things unintentionally.
Okay, but I can still hear some founders thinking, look, processes, that's for the IBMs of the world. We're lean, we're agile, we'll bolt on processes later when we're, you know, huge.
Right. The we'll deal with it later fallacy.
Yeah. What are the real, like, tangible dangers of thinking like that? Believing processes are something you can just postpone indefinitely.
Well, that belief, it seems logical, especially in those crazy early days where you're just trying to survive.
Sure.
But it carries these hidden costs, and they compound. They really snowball over time and can genuinely threaten the company's survival.
How does that cascade happen?
The source lays it out pretty clearly. It starts small. Seemingly harmless shortcuts, maybe undocumented ways of doing things, little process gaps here and there.
Okay. Annoying, maybe, but not fatal.
In the short term, maybe not fatal, but they lead to immediate consequences. Things like frequent errors, having to do work over again, frustrating delays, an order gets processed wrong, a customer ticket sits unanswered too long, that kind of stuff.
Okay, so it's small fire starting, but then what? How do those snowball into something bigger?
Because those immediate problems, they don't just stay small. They start affecting things more broadly. You begin to see inconsistent quality. Mm-hmm. One customer gets a great experience, the next gets a terrible one. Team morale starts to dip, then plummet. Because everyone's stressed, they're burnt out from constantly fixing preventable mistakes, from the sheer inefficiency.
Yeah, the firefighting burnout.
Exactly. And then, almost inevitably, customer complaints rise. People notice the inconsistency, the delays, the errors.
Okay, so operational messiness. How does that hit the actual business bottom line?
Well, those operational impacts then translate directly into significant business consequences. You start losing revenue, maybe from churned customers, maybe from deals that fall through because you couldn't deliver reliably.
Right.
Your brand reputation takes a hit. It gets harder to attract good talent because word gets out that it's a chaotic place to work, harder to win new clients, and ultimately your growth slows down or stalls completely.
So it's death by a thousand paper cuts almost.
Kind of. Or maybe it's like the book implies, building a house without a proper foundation. It might look okay for a little while, especially when it's small. But as soon as you try to add a second story, or bad weather hits, you know, rapid scaling, increased customer demand, competitive pressure, the cracks show, and eventually the whole thing can just collapse.
That makes total sense.
Yeah.
So the fear then, for a lot of founders,
yeah,
it isn't necessarily process itself, maybe. It's the fear of becoming slow, bureaucratic. A behemoth.
Exactly. That's the big boogeyman.
So how do we draw the line? How do we tell the difference between those helpful, enabling processes you talked about and the burdensome bureaucracy everyone dreads? Because they sound like opposites.
They really are. And making that distinction is absolutely critical. It's probably the misconception that holds most startups back from embracing process.
Okay, lay it out for us. Enabling versus bureaucratic.
Okay, think of it like this. The book clarifies. Enabling processes are all about flexibility, focusing on the outcome, and genuinely creating value.
Flexible, outcome-focused, value-creating. Got it.
Right. They adapt. If circumstances change, the process can bend. They prioritize getting the right result, solving the customer's problem. And crucially, they actually make work easier and more effective for your team. They remove friction.
Like guardrails on a highway. They keep you safe but let you go fast.
Perfect analogy. Now, contrast that with bureaucratic processes. Mm-hmm. These are rigid, rule-focused. Often, they exist for the sake of the rule itself, not the outcome.
Checkbox exercises.
Exactly. And as the source bluntly puts it, they drain value. They create friction, slow things down, constrain growth instead of enabling it. They often lead to people feeling resentful and finding ways to work around the process.
So those are like speed bumps every 5 feet on that same highway.
Precisely. They just slow you down for no good reason.
Okay, that distinction is huge. So it's absolutely not about just having processes for the sake of it. It's about designing the right kind of processes, the enabling kind.
That's the core message.
We're not talking about building endless layers of red tape that stifle everyone. We're talking about smart systems that support innovation and agility.
Yes. That clears up a major hurdle, I think.
Me too. Okay, so if this process-first mindset focused on enabling processes is the goal, how does a startup actually get there? Is it like you flip a switch one day, okay, team, today we're process first?
Ha! If only it were that easy. No, not at all. And it's really vital to understand this. The source makes it clear it's a journey, a gradual evolution. It calls it a process maturity journey.
Okay, a journey. Not a destination achieved overnight.
Right. And it outlines four stages. You can sort of picture a startup growing up operationally speaking.
What are the stages?
It starts with foundation. This is stage one. Chaos might still be pretty high, but you begin by just documenting the really critical, repeatable tasks, getting things out of people's heads.
So just writing down how stuff gets done, like a basic recipe book.
Exactly. Creating that first shared understanding, Aqua House, for instance, probably scaled way too fast without even establishing this basic foundation, which amplified their problems.
Okay, foundation. What's next?
Stage two is standardization. Here, you move beyond just having the recipe book to making sure everyone's actually using it consistently. It's about reducing variation, getting everyone on the same page, establishing clear roles.
Consistency. Predictability. Fewer one-off mistakes.
Precisely. That's where you really start to see the benefits in terms of fewer errors and more predictable results. Then comes stage three, optimization.
Okay, so once things are standard, you make them better.
You got it. Now that you have a stable baseline, you can focus on continuous improvement, streamlining things, removing bottlenecks, making processes faster, cheaper, higher quality. This usually involves looking at data, getting feedback.
Actively improving the recipes.
Yes. And finally, stage four is excellence. This is the top tier. Here, process improvement isn't a project. It's baked into the company culture. It's proactive, data-driven, part of everyone's mindset.
So it's just how you operate.
Right. Processes are adaptive, super efficient, consistently delivering great value. It becomes a real core strength, a competitive advantage.
That progression makes so much sense. Foundation, standardization, optimization, excellence. It breaks down what feels like a huge mountain into manageable steps.
It really does. It demystifies it.
And this whole transformation, it's not about just picking one single magic bullet, right? Like saying, okay, we're going to be a lean startup now, or we're going all in on agile, because you often hear those presented as like competing philosophies.
That's another crucial insight from the book. No, it's definitely not about picking just one. What's really fascinating and maybe a bit revolutionary is this idea of integrating proven methodologies.
Integrating them, how?
The Source presents something called the Startup Methodology Integration Framework. It basically shows how you can strategically combine the strengths of what are often seen as separate toolkits.
Like Lean, Six Sigma, Agile, those kinds of things.
Exactly. Lean, Six Sigma, Agile, Kaizen, plus other powerful concepts like theory of constraints, design thinking. You weave them together.
Into what? A super methodology?
Kind of. The author calls it an integrated startup approach. He even calls the result unified magic.
Unified magic. Okay, I'm intrigued. Can you give us a quick example? Like, how would, say, Lean and Agile, which sometimes seem different, work together in this unified magic way for a startup?
Sure, it's a great question. Think about their core strengths. Lean is brilliant at identifying and eliminating waste, anything that doesn't add value for the customer. Lean helps you find it and cut it out, ruthlessly efficient.
Okay, cutting the fat.
Right. Then you have Agile. Agile is fantastic for iterative development, responding quickly to change, getting customer feedback early and often, especially in areas like software or product development.
Fast cycles, flexibility.
Exactly. So unified magic isn't about choosing Lean or Agile. It's about using Lean and Agile where they fit best.
How might that look?
Well, for instance, a startup could use Lean principles to map out their entire customer onboarding process. Find all the delays, the confusing steps, the wasted effort, and eliminate them.
Streamline it using Lean. Got it.
Then they could use agile principles like short sprints and user feedback loops to rapidly test and improve that newly streamlined onboarding process. Make quick adjustments based on what new customers are actually experiencing.
So Lean cleans it up, Agile helps refine it quickly.
Exactly. Or maybe you use Lean to optimize your manufacturing flow to minimize inventory waste, while your software team uses Agile sprints to release new app features every 2 weeks. You're combining the strengths.
That makes so much sense. It's about using the right tool for the right job within an overarching system.
Precisely. And this unified approach, this unified magic, is what really helps founders avoid those startup killers we talked about, the regulatory fines from sloppy processes, the crippling inefficiencies like TechConnect had, the burnout that almost killed AquaHouse.
It creates a more holistic system, covering everything from making the product to getting it to the customer happily.
That's the idea, a truly integrated, efficient, and adaptable operation.
Wow. What an incredible deep dive. Just scratching the surface, really, but getting to the core of sustainable startup growth.
Yeah, it's foundational stuff.
We've seen how just ignoring processes, sticking to that old break things idea, can lead straight to chaos and even collapse.
Mm-hmm. The AquaHouse story is a stark warning.
But also how embracing this process-first mindset, focusing on those enabling processes.
Yeah.
It's not about slowing down at all. It's actually about building the engine for an enduring, agile, and efficient company.
If you connect it back to that bigger picture, it really feels like the move fast and break things era is, or at least should be, over for companies that want to last.
Yeah.
Today's winners, the ones building real long-term value, they don't just move fast. They move fast and build enduring value.
Move fast and build enduring value. I like that.
And understanding and implementing these enabling processes, that's how you get there. It leads to better customer experiences, more engaged teams, less burnout, and ultimately, real lasting competitive advantages that go way beyond just having a cool initial idea.
Absolutely. And this deep dive today, really understanding the chaos and starting to cultivate that process first mindset, it's just step one in our Foundations of Startup Process Improvement series.
Just the beginning. There's much more to unpack.
So, recapping for everyone listening, you've learned processes aren't the enemy, they can be a secret weapon.
Mm-hmm.
You've learned that neglecting them has real compounding costs, and that the right processes, the enabling kind, are flexible, outcome-focused, and absolutely vital for growth.
Key takeaways right there.
And what it all boils down to is this. You actually don't have to choose between startup speed and operational excellence. This process revolution shows you how to achieve both.
It's a powerful combination.
So as we continue this series, our next deep dive will get more practical. We'll look at how you actually figure out what your current processes even are. You know, discovery, mapping, the essential assessment tools you need to understand your starting point before you can improve.
Yeah, measuring your current state, critical next step.
But for today, the real takeaway, the question to mull over is this. It's not really if you'll need to master these process capabilities to survive and thrive. It's whether you'll get a handle on them before your competitors do.
That's the race.
So think about it. What's just one small process, maybe a recurring task, a customer interaction, something in your startup right now that with just a little bit of focused attention might start to transform some of that chaos into cash.